What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Hurricane Hotline on FM 104.3 WQAM. An in-depth look at the Miami Hurricanes, presented by Williamson Cadillac.
Williamson Cadillac. Experience the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac from Miami's luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show as we come to you this evening from the Watsco Center. We've got a big one. Miami and North Carolina coming up. Welcome to the Hurricane Hotline. We will be talking with University of Miami head coach Jay Lucas. And then, of course, we'll hear from Coach Lucas a little bit later on during our pregame show. But what a night we're going to have here, a sold-out Watsco Center for the Canes and North Carolina. Miami coming into this game 18-5 this season. Hurricanes coming off a win against Boston College. North Carolina 9-4. Carolina has won five straight games, winning on Saturday against Duke in the most dramatic of fashions. The last shot of the game, their only lead of the game, was the last shot of the game. They're led by the freshman phenom Caleb Wilson, averaging 20 points a game. Of course, Miami led by Malik Renew, averaging also 20 points a game. Later this week on Friday night, Hurricanes baseball will begin the season against Lehigh, opening night for J.D. Arteaga's squad, Friday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. But tonight, center stage, the Hurricanes and North Carolina, both 7-3 in conference play, tied for fifth place. This would be the biggest win of the year for the Miami Hurricanes, if they can pull it off. So right now, let's call on University of Miami head coach Jay Lucas. All right, let's talk with University of Miami head coach Jay Lucas. Hurricanes in North Carolina, that's coming up at the Watsco Center. We're going to dive into that one a little bit and talk a lot about Boston College and the win there. Coach, before we get into any of that, though, the Carolina is coming in. You're going to have a sellout crowd. Watsco Center is going to be alive. People are going to wear orange, so an exciting time for University of Miami basketball.
It is. It's an exciting time, and I'm excited for our players. I'm excited for the university. They have done a lot this year just with the way they play, the way they compete, to be able to get the crowd out and be a part of it. It's been good.
And again, this is part of your vision, part of your blueprint, and what you want to see for a home court advantage.
Yeah, this is, and this is what I want this place to become and want this place to be. I want it to be one of the toughest places to play in the ACC. And, you know, I think that just comes with time and also comes with what you put out there.
That being said, Carolina comes in after one of the most dramatic wins, or winning in dramatic fashion on Saturday against Duke. They trailed the entire game until the last shot. So they either come in emotionally exhausted or emotionally charged. I never know how to look at that.
Yeah. You know, I hope they're exhausted, but, you know, we're going to get the best version of Carolina. You know, they've been playing a lot better. They're playing their best basketball of the year. And so I'm excited about the opportunity to play against them and compete, and opportunity to get in this stretch of starting these big games we have coming up.
Yeah, they've won five in a row. Have you seen a common denominator in their five straight wins?
You know, the biggest thing is just, you know, they have done a great job of playing to their strengths, which is their interior play with Caleb Wilson, of course. But Vassar, who transferred from Arizona, is a really good player. And everything kind of starts with those two.
Yeah, those guys are averaging, combining for about 44% of their points.
Yeah, they're a big part of what they do. And, you know, also with just their scoring, but their gravity and their just attention that they draw kind of opens up everything else for everyone else, and so they can kind of be themselves as well.
Yeah, Vassar, I didn't realize he's a 7-foot center, but he's not afraid to take a 3-point shot.
No, he's not at all. You know, I played against him the years he was at Arizona, uh-huh. And so I'm familiar with him. But he is, I think he's taller than 7 feet. I think he's one of those 7 foot guys that doesn't like to be taller than 7 feet. But he can do a little bit of everything. He stretches you. You know, they they get you in tricky situations because sometimes he's like the four, but he's the tallest person out there with Caleb Wilson playing more like a five. So you just got to communicate and talk.
He's taken 63 three-pointers this year. Caleb Wilson's got five straight games of 20 points or more. He couldn't miss the other night against Duke and played all 40 minutes.
Yeah, you know, he's one of the best players in the country. You know what I mean? And that's what you get. Like you said, you know, he kind of put his imprint on that game right away and kind of got them going offensively. And then for him to be a freshman and in that type of game to play 40 minutes is very impressive.
You know, when I look at this matchup, I look at the metrics, you look at the stats, I mean, there's not much separating Miami and Carolina. You start looking at the numbers, and, you know, the numbers are pretty similar. They're number seven in scoring offense. You're number four in scoring offense. You get into three-point shooting and free throws. Those are pretty even. You're number five in scoring defense. They're number six in scoring defense. There's not a lot that separates the two teams.
No, there's not a lot, I think, and that's why I like the matchup, and I think it's going to be a really good game. I think the biggest thing, not just for Carolina, but for us going forward, I've kind of said this, is, you know, in a lot of these games, we beat ourselves, and the good thing about that is you can control that. So as long as we can take care of the ball and limit our turnovers, I think we'll be fine.
Let's talk about that because that's what you had to do against Boston College. There were some self-inflicted wounds against Boston College in the 74-68 win. However, when it did matter most, the last 4 minutes of the game, your execution was exquisite.
Yeah, it was. And they did a good job down the stretch executing. And, you know, that's just our next growth and development is just making sure we continue and start to take better care of the ball. Some of that, to me, comes from fatigue of, you know, just playing a lot of guys heavy minutes. So I got to continue to do a better job with my subs and subbing at the right time.
Yeah, well, you've had a shorter bench because of obvious reasons, but those guys that are logging a lot of minutes, Donaldson the other day, look at the numbers he put up for you, Coach. 14 points, 8 rebounds, I think it was 7 assists. A Miami player hasn't done that in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, that all was done in the second half, to be honest with you. I think he had 13 in the second half, and he's shown that ability to be a closer and be able to close down the stretch for us. And that's what's exciting about it is you have a guy who is a senior who plays like that in those minutes. It always gives you a chance when it matters the most.
I don't want to fail to mention his lob at the end of the game. Yeah, that was really good.
It was big time. You know, I told him in that timeout and after that's just the play you make when you have that kind of confidence in yourself, and he does.
I look at your numbers again, and there are a lot of numbers, again, where you are playing to your identity, and we're getting late in the season, but I mentioned number four in scoring offense. You look at it, you're still number one in field goal percentage offense in the league at 51%. You're still in the top five in assists per game, number three, 17.2 assists per game. So some of these numbers that you want to hit, your team is right there.
Yeah, we're right there. We're right there. And, you know, I was always worried about the offense initially, but we've been a lot better offensively than I felt. And I thought we would be really good defensively, and we haven't been as good defensively as I felt we would be. But, you know, the big part of the offense now is taking care of the ball. Yeah. If we can take care of the ball down the stretch, we can put ourselves in really good position just to close strong this year.
How do you solve that? Is there a drill in practice? How do you solve taking better care of the ball here over the next 8 games?
You know, I just think right now for us, we're just overdoing some things. And it's not from a selfish standpoint. It's just trying to make the right plays, but it just needs to be done a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes we're driving the ball too deep and it's getting knocked out of our hands, or we get in position where we have 2 and 3 players on us, but because we're close to the goal, we think we can finish where we should just pivot and pass it out because we got people wide open. So it's just being able to make the plays for each other and get back to being a high, high assist team.
You have been getting to the free throw line all season, But in particular, the last three games, you've really been getting to the line. Last three games, 31 free throw attempts, 33 free throw attempts, 25 free throw attempts.
Yep, that's who we have to be. You know, that's who we have to be. And I've said this before, you know, when you get to the line that much, you have to make at least 19 or 20. Yeah. And that's where in this game, these moments, these games, when you're playing against these, you know, top 10 teams in the country, where this is the separator. You know what I mean? These are the margins that we have to win. And we've had some wins where we did do it, but we've also had some losses where we didn't do it, that it came back and bit us a little bit.
They have Caleb Wilson. You have Shelton Henderson. And he's been spectacular over those last seven or eight games, 17 points a game, shooting 64, almost 65%.
Yeah. You know, I've always felt this way. And I hope he, you know, plays good and performs well on Tuesday, because the nation isn't talking enough about him. You know, I think he's one of the best freshmen in the country. In ACC play, he's been one of our most consistent players. And just for him to continue to do that, I put him up against anybody. And I know this is a great freshman class, and we have great freshmen in the ACC, but I think he's right there with anyone.
Yeah, it should not be overlooked that you're playing heavy minutes with two freshmen, Dante Allen being the other one that is starting. 7 points, 6 rebounds against Boston College. And I think Dante's just trying to find ways to contribute.
You know, Dante does find ways to contribute. You know, it's the one thing about Dante that I love, and one of the reasons why I wanted to get him here as soon as I got the job, because all he cares about is winning. He's one of those guys where you put him on the court, he's going to impact the game in a positive way somehow. And he just figure out ways. Like, he had 2 big-time assists in the game. He hit a big three in the game. He just does little things that start to add up.
All right, we'll continue with Coach Lucas from the Watsco Center after this. Let me talk to you about Williamson Cadillac, Ed Williamson. He's going to be here tonight. He and his lovely wife, Carol, they'll take a break from the dealership to cheer on the Miami Hurricanes. If you're in the market for a new Cadillac, there is no place better than Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership, founded over 50 years ago. And why are they so successful? Well, here's why. They are more than a dealership. They are our friends and neighbors. Williamson Cadillac has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the number one thing, customer experience. Customers at Williamson are treated like family. If you want to enjoy world-class customer service, then visit Williamson Cadillac, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. And every single day, new Cadillacs are arriving. The CT4, CT5, XT5, XT6, and of course, the new all-electric Lyriq. You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle in a new Cadillac? Then go to your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac, located on US 1, just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac, Williamson is Miami.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurricane Hotline continues on FM 104.3 WQAM. Presented by Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Happy to welcome you back to the Hurricane Hotline. Hurricanes and North Carolina coming up tonight just after 7 o'clock will be our tip-off. A little bit later on, we'll talk with Coach Lucas more about Miami and North Carolina. But let's continue our conversation with University of Miami head coach Jay Lucas. This Boston College game, there were some flashes where, besides the last 4 minutes where he played really well, there were lots of spurts. There was a rebound. I think it was Dante made the pass to Molovitz into the corner for a beautiful three. It was three people touched the ball, and you came away with 3 points.
Yeah, that's what they play. It's a one-hand pass right across the court. That was big time. And then Ernest had a big free throw rebound at the end of the game that kind of gave us some separation and gave us some cushion with what was left on the clock and doing that. So it's been great.
Boston College is known for their defense, hard-nosed defensive team. Opponents were only scoring 64 points a game, I believe, at the Connie Forum, and you put 74 up on them.
Yeah, and I thought we left a lot on the table. Yeah. You know, we missed a lot of layups. Malik had some bunnies that he missed. He had like two dunks he missed. The free throw line got us a little bit again, where I thought if we finished some of those plays and did some of those things, our separation would have been there, and it should have been, you know, at least an 85 or 90 point outing.
I'm not sure what the formula for the net is, but 4-1 in ACC road games has to be part of their calculation, doesn't it?
I would hope so. You know, it's hard to win on the road. And, you know, the league is so good this year. You know, I think we have the second best league in the country. The only one I would kind of put ahead of us just because of what they've been able to do would be the Big Ten. And I'm talking from top to bottom, just not the top. But, you know, for me, this league is good. And you look at the scores and everybody's separation, you know, they're two possession games.
Yep. I did want to ask you, recruiting. Recruiting never stops. Lots of people are going to have their eyes trained on the Watsco Center for Hurricanes and Carolina. We'll see what that looks like. I always felt like recruiting is a story, right? You got to tell a story to your person you're recruiting because that story is their future, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. And we'll have a big number of recruits there for the game. For Carolina, and it's one of the opportunities for us to continue to show who we are and what we're about now, but also just what we're capable of doing and what the Watsco and what this fan base is like. And, you know, we saw it start with football and everything that they were able to do, and now it's our job to carry it over for basketball and finish the season good. But it's all about telling the story of who we are, what we're about, and what this is and what it can be.
And you know, obviously we're in this new era, Coach, and everybody says, okay, we know NIL is involved in all that. But beyond that, I would think players and their guardians, moms, dads, whatever, part of that story is also what is in their future, right? They have to have some other priorities, correct?
Correct. They do. And I think that's the great thing about our university and our city is there's so many opportunities for your life and in general, you know, and there's a lot of things that I didn't know about before I took this job. I think a lot of people are shocked when they come down here and realize that Miami is a private school and the prestige and the education, but also the connection to a big metropolitan city and everything that comes with it. And then once they get to feel the community and feel the people around the university and involved in the university, you just fall in love with it. And it's an easy, easy thing to sell. And now the part that I want to do and what I'm trying to sell and trying to tell and to create our narrative through using social media is that people get an inside look of the program, but also of the university and campus. Like, I didn't know there was a lake in the middle of campus, and campus was as beautiful as it is. So, you know, we have all this great stuff, and now we need to get it out to the world and get it out there where people can see it and know about it.
I also think one of the cool things about the University of Miami, I think it's actually in all the sports, basketball, football, baseball, and you see it in basketball because there's a good, strong alumni group now, the brotherhood of the University of Miami. And then I think that extends to the fan base in that when people are done playing, Hurricanes will take care of Hurricanes.
Exactly. It's huge. And what you see is the love that people have for the Hurricanes. And Miami is a place you don't want to leave. And it's not because of the beach and South Beach and the partying. It's once you get over here and once you understand the people that are from here and the people that actually live here, not just visit, you fall in love with it. And you fall in love with the city, you know, of the Coral Gables, the Pinecrest, the South Miami, Kendall, all these areas and these people who are tied to Miami and tied to the city. It means something different to them.
You hear often about the people that are able to connect. I think that's easily to be seen with you. One of the very cool things about you is the way you connect with everybody around you. And that being said, there's probably more to just being able to connect with people. You probably have some priorities also when you're recruiting. It's great that there are, you know, top players, but you also have to be able to coach them.
Yeah, you have to be able to coach them, which is the most important part. So, you know, there's always things that I look at, kind of markers. You know, I always say, what is their pedigree? Have they won? Have they won state championships? Have they won gold medals? Have they won Peach Jam or AU championships? You know, also look to see, did they play other sports? You know what I mean? When you have a guy who maybe played football younger, they have a different level of toughness and a different level of physicality. Another marker for me, which is a weird one, Josie, I'm letting you in on my insight, is did their moms play? I've never had a bad player whose mom played basketball. Everybody who's really? Basketball mom, yes, has been good. It'll go from Jackson Hayes, Cooper Flagg, Con Knipple. It goes on and on. Jared Allen. I mean, I can go through all of them. But if their mom played basketball, it usually leads to them being a pretty good player, because you know boys and their moms. I know you have a daughter, but you know boys and their moms.
Yep. That's well, the moms have so much strength and guidance, and you know, the moms, especially the ones that play, the stats show they're the most successful in business as well.
Yes, they are. And then it shows that, you know, the moms, when they played and played the sport, they are tough. Yeah. And they are usually the ones that are what you think a basketball dad would be. It comes from the mom. So if it comes from the mom, then you know he's going to be all right, because that's the person he spent most of his time with.
Now, that's a great nugget, Coach. See, I always thought it was the son of a coach. That, you know, those guys, you're the son of a coach, right? Yep. Yeah, I always thought, every time I see a guy who's the son of a coach, I go, oh, this guy, he's going to be a good player or he's going to be a good coach. But the mom thing, I never thought about. So that's a good nugget.
Yep. You have to, it's kind of my hidden gem that I look at and I ask right away, because it is the one thing that I've seen that has kind of been a separator when you look at people and going through people I've recruited and coached. And I know I'm missing a few of them, but just their moms who played at a high level, their sons have usually been really good at basketball.
By the way, Cooper Flagg, I don't know if you've seen what he's done lately, but he's putting up like Michael Jordan-esque numbers.
Yeah, I have. I've been following on my phone and stuff, and I've seen it. But I also know, I just know he was always going to be a guy who was going to figure it out. He's done that his whole life. He's a good player.
All right, we've got Carolina coming up. We're going to talk more about that later on. But real fast, as we conclude this part of the show, you're at 84 points a game. They're like at 82 points per game. Could be a track meet. Well, where do you see the pace in this game being? Or where do you want the pace to be?
Well, the biggest thing is we have to be us. You know, when you get in these games, especially against the Carolina or these, you know, teams with this pedigree and these names, you can kind of play to the moment too much and play to the game where you're not just being you. So that's been my message. We got to go out and execute what's made us us. No matter who we're playing, we got to fight for our identity. Their identity is very similar to ours. And I think that's why it makes it a good game and why the metrics are so close that, you know, we play kind of a similar brand of basketball. And so that's what makes the game exciting. So we got to mix it up. We got to give them different looks. Can't give them the same look for 40 minutes. So we got to keep them guessing and keep them thinking. And we'll do that.
All right, Coach. Best of luck against Carolina. We'll talk more about that coming up later on here tonight. But thanks for being with us here on the Hurricane Hotline.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it, Josie.
All right, stay tuned now. Right around the corner, countdown to tip-off. It's Miami and North Carolina, a big one here at the Wasco Center. Sellout crowd expected if you're in the area. Don't forget to wear orange for tonight's game. Miami and Carolina, our pregame show is coming up next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.